Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 87 with the topic and the chapter heading called Don't Look Back. It's our Friday study edition, and here's Bob Christopher. Don't look back. Somebody might be gaining.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, you know, as we start this chapter, we're going to start with the word new, and I like the word new.
Yeah.
I bet you guys do, too. I think we all like the word new, especially when it comes to a new car, new clothes, new gadgets. You know, we live in a world where we're just waiting for the next new thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as you buy your smartphone, you're thinking, I just can't wait for 6 months before they come out with the next thing. And that's just the world we live in today. But so this new is an exciting word.
I had a friend tell me one time, I said, Bob, I love you like a new truck. That's a Texas phrase for sure.
That's a lot of love right there, too, I tell you. So we like that word new, except when it comes to kind of the weightier things of life. New is a very scary word, and we see that in the political season that we're in. We're afraid of change. We want to keep things status quo. Because if we change things too much, that means things are going to become unfamiliar. We're going to have to step out into the unknown. We're going to have to change the status quo. And woe is me. We don't want to do that. But guess what? The gospel ushers us into the new. Everything is new as far as this good news of Jesus Christ is concerned. That's the deal. We have to say goodbye to the old and welcome the new. That's the way it was for the Israelites. We studied that the last several weeks when they were set free from Egyptian control and they walked through that dry land, you know, as God parted the Red Sea. They were saying goodbye to their old way of life and they were going forward into the newness of life. And that's what the gospel is all about. And Paul summed it up in 2 Corinthians 5. I think very well. He says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Welcome to the new, friends.
Yeah.
That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you better get used to it. And I'll tell you right up front that everything that God has for you in Jesus is so much better than what you had as a lost person. As far as the world is concerned, there is nothing to compare to what we have in Christ Jesus. So there's absolutely nothing to fear. But so we better get used to this word new. So let's take a look at this passage and some of the other things that the New Testament has for us, and even a passage in the Old Testament to show us what's new as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. So let's take a good look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. We just read it. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. So what has happened to the old according to this passage?
Gone.
It's just gone.
Well, what does that mean? And that's what we're going to look at.
Yeah.
And what is here? The new is here. So it's a new creation. We're part of that new creation. We've become new because of the work of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. So let's take a look at some passages. In Romans 6:4, we see we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So in Christ, what do we have according to this passage?
A new life.
A new life. It's different from the old life, isn't it? That old life was controlled by sin and death. We were a part of the world system. We've been set free from that so that we could live a new life. How were we set free? Through the gospel, through death, burial, and resurrection. We were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. So how did we let go of the old and enter the new? Through the gospel, through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have a new life. As a new creation, we also have a new identity. John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So what's new about us as children of God? A new identity.
Yeah.
What were we before? We were sinners.
Yeah.
We were lost. But now we have a new identity, children of God. So two things, a new life with a new identity. In Ephesians 4:24, Paul wrote this, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we had an old self that was buried with Christ. Now we have a new self, and we're to put on this new self that was created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We're image bearers.
Yes.
And that's what this new self is all about.
Notice how opposite this is from the Garden of Eden experience. Oh, you want to be like God knowing good and evil. Paul says, absolutely not. You want to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, and that's what he's given you. I mean, it really is radically new.
It is. It is indeed. So we've got a new life. We've got a new identity. We've got a new self. Ezekiel 36:26 tells us that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Guess what happened the moment we believed in Christ? We were given a heart that is willing to trust the Lord Jesus, a heart that is interested in the things of God, a heart that wants to depend upon Jesus. So we have a new life, a new identity, a new self, a new heart. For this reason, in Hebrews 9:15, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So there was an old covenant, and there's a new covenant. Mm-hmm. Well, we're a part of this new covenant. We're very familiar with the old. We tried to live up to it. Didn't do too well.
No.
But God put an end to that through the death of Christ, and he's ushered in a new covenant. That's what happened through the shed blood of Jesus. He ratified this new covenant. That's the covenant that we live in today. He's given us a new command in John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, that doesn't sound new, does it? We see in the Old Covenant that we're to love the Lord our God and that we're to love others. What makes this new?
Well, in the Old Covenant, it said to love others as you love yourself. And that is proper in the Old Covenant. Here, he's saying, love others as I have loved you. Again, the focus comes off of us and goes on to Jesus, and he fulfills it.
Absolutely. And then he says that we have this new command. And then in Romans 7:6, but now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. So we have a new life, we have a new identity, we have a new self, we have a new heart, we have a new covenant, we have a new command, we have a new way of the Spirit. The old way was through human effort, mm-hmm. through, you know, strapping up the boots and pulling yourself up by those boot laces and trying to do the best that you can. That was the old way. The new way is by the power of God's Spirit living inside of us. Yeah. So, folks, welcome to the new. You can't go back.
That's good stuff.
You can't go back to that old way. I know years ago, one of my Christmas presents was a set of golf clubs, and I'd asked my mom and dad for it, and I snuck, got up early in the morning and went and saw it, you know, peeked. I got to see what I was going to get, and I was so excited.
How old were you at this time?
Oh, I was probably 12 years old, something
27.
Like that.
27.
That's right. Well, I still get up, and I'd still peek if I could. You know, that's just who I am. But, you know, I didn't take any lessons. I just started to teach myself how to play golf. Never got very good at it, but loved the game. Just absolutely loved the game of golf. When Gina and I got married, golf became a four-letter word to her. She thought, you know, are you loving golf more than me? And, you know, no, honey, but can I go play golf today?
Yeah. Can we talk later?
That sort of thing. And we kind of worked through all of that, and she did something really nice for me. She got me some golf lessons with a world-renowned golf teacher here in the Dallas area. Well, first lesson I went, you know, I stood up there and showed him my swing, and he videotaped it, and I got to see it first time, and oh my gosh, what an awful swing I had. So he started correcting me. He started giving me a new swing, and I took some subsequent lessons, and I started hitting the ball okay, and finally I said, I'm going to go out on a golf course and see how well my new swing will do. Well, it gets unfamiliar, you know. I wasn't quite used to it. So that first round, I kept going back to my old swing, doing it the old way, and my game just didn't improve at all. And I was ready just to give up and you know, go back to doing it the way I was familiar with. And, you know, that's the way we are with this Christian life.
Yep.
You know, we're not familiar with this new way. We're not familiar with this new covenant. We're not familiar with this new identity. We're not familiar with all of these things. They're unknown. And we're not sure how they're going to spell themselves out for us in day-to-day life. So when pressures mount, when things, you know, show up on our doorstep the way they did before, we tend to revert back to our old way of doing things. And we know that's not right, but we do. That's our natural human tendency. And we have to just come to the point and say, Lord, I can't go back to that old way of life. I can't go back to that old way of doing things. I'm just going to have to trust you and recognize that you know best for me. And once we get to that point, then we're really free to allow God to move us forward in this new way of life by grace through faith in Jesus. So if you're out there and this new way of life doesn't feel very comfortable to you, give it time. Let God continue to do his work in you. It's going to happen. That new way of life is going to start becoming familiar to you, and you're going to recognize that it's so much better than what you had in the past. And that's good news, isn't it?
That is wonderful news. And guys, I don't think that this thing of identity can be overstated. You know, before we come to faith in Jesus and receive his life, we were old sinners that just needed to be saved by grace. But when you come to Christ and receive his life, you're not a new sinner saved by grace either. You are a child of the King, and I think that ought to make a difference.
It makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. You'll find the book and the study guide at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We want to thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to do what we do, take the truth, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to so many others who are searching, who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. We've seen it countless times over the years. When the truth is heard, when the truth takes root, new life, forever changed life, is the result. And when you give, someone else hears, believes, and lives in the life of Jesus Christ, well, you have a part in that. You certainly do. We ask you to help today to keep that good news coming. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. And when you do, some good things happen. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. So there's this tendency to want to go back. We certainly saw that in the story of the Israelites. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They were mad at Moses for leading them out into the desert. They even said to him, have you just led us out here so that we could die? And they kept looking back to Egypt. And sometimes we want to look back to our old way of life. And here's what Peter had to say about this. This is one of my favorite passages, 1 Peter 4:3. He says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. That's what life was like for us when we were lost. Maybe we didn't live out these things to the fullest extent, but these were the things that controlled us. These were the things that moved us along in life. And sometimes they were pleasurable, but then when you really looked at it, you found it was just empty. It was an empty way of life. Well, God has rescued us from that, has set us free from those powers that once controlled us, and has given us the opportunity to be guided by the Holy Spirit, to live in this new way, to live out who we are as children of God. That's what this gospel has set us free to do. So I think part of our growing in grace and part of our growing in our knowledge of Christ Jesus is coming to this point that Peter did, realizing that we have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. We used to be there. And however long we were there, if you came to know Christ when you were 12 or 5, or when you came to know Christ when you were 30 or 40 years of age, however long that was, that life, that old life was long enough. You've lived there long enough. It's time to let it go and to move forward in faith in Jesus Christ. The Israelites, they wandered in that desert for 40 years. You don't have to wander in the desert for 40 years. You just have to realize that there's this newness ahead of you and plow ahead. Let the Lord lead you into the fullness of what that new life is all about.
Yeah, when I first learned this verse, I picked one thing, drunkenness, because I had never taken an alcoholic drink in my entire life. So I said, well, that doesn't apply to me. The whole verse doesn't apply to me, just because I'd never been drunk. And then, you know, the Spirit says, well, go to the end and look at that idolatry thing.
Yeah.
And you have to get honest with yourself and with God and say, what I was my own God, and I wanted the real God to do the things I wanted him to do, and then maybe I'd like him enough to serve him. And I was arguing that this didn't apply to me, and the whole time I was in that idolatry thing. There's a wisdom here that you have to pay attention
right.
to.
Right, and as men, you know, we don't even have to go to that idolatry thing. We could just highlight the word lust.
Oh, no. No, you never talk about that. Not in polite company, no.
That's exactly right. But we've spent enough time in that way of life.
Yeah.
And it's miserable, as Peter said at the beginning of his first letter, that's an empty way of life. And we've been set free from that empty way of life. You know, it looks good. The world glitzes it up. It glamorizes it. It makes it look good. That was the lie of Satan. He made that tree of the knowledge of good and evil look really good to Adam and Eve, so much so that they partook of it. Now, the world makes itself look good, but it's just a veneer. It's just a facade. There's nothing behind that. There's no substance. It's just hollow, a hollowed out tree, an empty balloon. There's nothing there. Yeah. And we have to realize that. Substance is in Christ. And that's why he wants us to look forward to all that we have in this new way of life, being a new creature in Christ Jesus. And as we said, this is a way of the Spirit. It's the new way of the Spirit. And Paul gives us some real hope as far as this new way is concerned. And we ask the question, what does moving forward in this new way of life mean to you according to 2 Corinthians 3:17? And here's what that passage says. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if we really want to experience freedom, we have to follow this new way of the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, the world is going to push back on that. The world is going to say, if you really want to be free, you need to be able to choose anything that you want to do.
Yeah.
Well, choosing to go back to an old way of life, we're free to do that. But in making that choice, we're saying, I'm going to choose bondage over freedom. I'm going to choose slavery over liberty. I'm going to choose being controlled by sin and death over serving the one true God and following the way of the Spirit. So we're free to choose sin. We're free to choose to go back. But that's a step in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
That's a step into bondage. So if we want to experience real freedom, we have to recognize that freedom comes from the Spirit, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is true freedom. We can't get it any other way. That's why God has set us free. That's why God has given us new life. That's why God has forgiven our sins, to release us into freedom. So what is this new way all about? It's all about freedom.
Yeah.
You can't find freedom by going back. You have to go forward. For the people of Israel, as they were in the desert, they couldn't go back to Egypt. And that's the same that's true for us. We can choose, sinful things, but once we're alive in Christ, we can't go back to death. Once we have a new identity, we can't go back to being a sinner. Once we have Christ living in us, we can't go back to that old way where Christ wasn't there. He's not going to undo all of those things. So if we choose to sin, we're choosing to sin in the light. We're Yes. choosing to sin as new creatures in Christ. We're choosing to sin as people who have an identity as child of God. We're choosing to sin with Christ living in us. And that's why it's never as good as what we once thought. Yeah. Why? Because we're seeing it for what it really is, that empty way of life. So when we realize that, we can say with Peter, we've had enough. Let's move forward in the Spirit and experience real freedom, genuine freedom, authentic freedom, what God has designed us to experience from the get-go. So this word new, even though it could be scary, there's nothing to fear. Christ is right there with you every single step of the way. And that's good news, isn't it?
It sure is.
Boy, we don't have to step out into the unknown without by ourselves. We don't have to do that in isolation. We do it with Christ living in us. We do it with the body of Christ supporting us. We do it in a huge community called the body of Christ. So we don't have to fear. And once we realize that, boy, we can muster up that courage and take those steps of faith, and we can see what freedom is really like.
Yeah. Why have we been studying what we've studied the last several weeks? So we needed to understand how secure we are in Jesus so that we could face this new. If we weren't secure, there would be no assurance in this new. That would be too frightening. But because we are secure, we're never going back. He'll ensure that. Not me, but he will. Now I can face the new and be thrilled with it.
Absolutely. And you know, if Christ is moving you to take a step forward, that step forward means something good for you. Mm-hmm. So he's not leading you down scary paths. He's not leading you to things that are going to harm you or hurt you or bring pain and sorrow in your life.
Yeah, he never says, you go first.
That's right. He is always leading the way. And if he's leading, you know it's going to be yeah. to a place that is good for you. And the things that make it troublesome are the things of the world. And that sort of stuff. But God is leading us to things that are going to benefit us and to be for our good. They're all about our freedom. Joy and peace and love and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. All of those things that are good and pleasing and wonderful. That's this new life that we have in Christ. There's nothing to fear. Step out in faith, be bold, be courageous. Christ is with you. Let this word new become exciting in its fullest measure.
That's just good stuff.
It is good stuff. The best stuff.
The best stuff. It's the basic gospel, everybody. Well, you know, at Basic Gospel, we are privileged to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are blessed to have many of you partnering with us. The need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere, people whose souls and spirits are ready to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you've not yet joined with us, we ask you to help today to get the answer out to everyone that so desperately needs to hear it. Will you join with us today with a gift? Your gift through Basic Gospel probably will mean the difference in someone's life. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, you can find the book and the study guide at simplegospelsimplygrace.com. That's simplegospelsimplygrace.com. And thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again Monday for a live edition of Basic Gospel.